Just in case anyone's new to the space here, you're particularly welcome. Just give it a little overview of what's going to unfold. So shortly we'll have about half an hour of meditation, and I'll just drop in a few reminders as supports for our practice together. And then I'll share a little reflection around one of the areas of these teachings and practices that I've been reflecting on recently. Broadly under this idea of don't come all the way out of a meditation, and say a bit more about that, but we'll include that towards the end, the latter part of the guided session, seeing if we can sustain what we've cultivated, sustain what ways of regarding experience that we've brought into being, any kind of more harmonized well-being in ourselves, or ways that we are able to relate to the world. Be a shame just to leave them in the meditation when we could potentially have a goodie bag, or like when we were maybe kids going to a party and you leave with a bit of cake from the party to have later, and or whatever else. Any images that work are available for you to pick up. So, and then after that, there'll be time for some questions and responses from you. Any reflections that you have, anything you want to share about ways of keeping the practice alive, from the stillness, the silence, maybe the eyes closed kind of practice into more of your life. Really lovely to hear from you as well with that, and we can share our wisdom together. So, before we jump into the meditation side, and I'll speak a bit more about it later, but this idea that actually we're cultivating something when we meditate. We're practicing something that we want to get good at. So what is that for you? Right? You can take it from the teachings, but you can also take it from your own heart, from your own life. If there were something that you're practicing getting better at, some habit or something you want to become a habit. Something you want to bring into the world, something you want to give to the other beings that you know, what would that be? Is it possible to name it? Is it possible to let it land into words? Something you'd like to see more of, something you'd like to practice getting good at. It could be a skill, an understanding, an experience. It could be one you've said before, it could be one that's arising fresh and new. Whatever it is, if you like, you're welcome to put it into the chat, and we'll just share a few of these before we bring them with us into the meditation. And yeah, we already have one popped in there. Awareness of awe. And as we read each other's, as we feel our own, maybe they come a little bit alive inside us. A wonderful sharing of language, sharing experiences, the inner peace. The heart. Liberation. Stillness and silence. Slowing down. Non-reactivity, staying calm, openness, each of us processes language in different ways, but some of us are quite image-based, some of us are more tactile, but like maybe something's happening, like openness. Maybe it opens for me. It feels like some bird's wings kind of just says open, thickness, that wide, revealing our delicacy, taking flight. Maybe it's a felt sense. Maybe it's just a word. That's all of it's okay. Stopping the scripts, stopping the stories, stopping the self. And really noticing. They're really beautiful, beautiful sharings, beautiful reflections, beautiful intentions. And if you're midway through writing one, feel free to still, you know, complete it, send it in. But let's begin settling into the meditation. We're going to take half an hour for some practice together. So just thinking, before we leap into our habitual posture, what's actually the best posture for that intention? Yeah, if it has like a grounding energy, does it need more support in the posture? If it's got that brightening, yeah, coming into being, does it need more uprightness in the posture? And that might come from standing, might come from, you know, raising a hand or whatever. Just seeing for yourself, actually, what's going to make that as easy as possible. And finding ourselves in that place, in that way. Settling into presence and contact. As many of you will know, your way into presence is often supported by being mindful, being present with something quite immediate. It could be the sounds and the environment keep us on that flow of this present flux of the now, the vibrancy of that. It could be the flow, movement of the breath sensations as we feel those. Where do we feel those? Could be the belly, the diaphragm, the chest. Where is it enjoyable to feel those movements? Where is it most delightful? It doesn't have to be really delightful, but it's the most delightful place to place the attention there. Or whatever else it is that guides you into presence, it could be words of a metta, kindness practice, or anything else. Just using that to stay steady, stay present, stay soft, stay awake. Just take a few moments. Getting to know the body, the heart, the mind through this listening to what's here. Checking in with where the heart mind is. Sometimes a little reminder like this, we find, oh, it's actually quite far away from direct present experience. Let's just drop a kind of flavor into this. We're cultivating this intention that we just mentioned, that we just tuned into. That peace, that stillness, that brightness, whatever it is. We can imagine, or we can know, however you want to phrase that, we need to let that deepen. As if and no, we must wait for it to arrive. Can't rush on to anything else, but be with this, here and now, in that flavor. You can't hurry this. Can't rub it into ripeness, it's like it's a fruit that needs to ripen. What if we imagine it that way? But let this deepen. Stay with it. This breath, these sounds, whatever it is, letting it deepen, letting it arrive. We're not rushing ahead. Any chance we can, just getting to know what's here, softening. And having that patience to allow this experience to deepen. But in that softening, also letting the experience touch us. Be touched by having an awareness, having this sensitivity, having the capability to delicately guide attention into experience, letting ourselves be touched by those gifts, also touched by whatever's revealed. Becoming porous, becoming open, letting yourself be touched by experience, by life.
Thank you.
In so many ways, the past moments of our lives are significant, they are meaningful, but they don't exist in the way that this moment does, in the way this moment can deepen, the way this moment can touch into us. Can be dissolved into. In this way, this moment can be really gotten into, can really get into this moment, immerse ourselves. Don't allow the breath or whatever it is we're attending to be out there. Sometimes it feels like it's in front of us and we're meeting it, maybe even analyzing it, observing it. It feels like it's in front of you, not in your lungs, not in your body. Sometimes a little lean back, barely noticeable movement. We follow in the next in-breath, in the mouth, down into the body. Staying in the body, feeling the breath from within. Getting into it. Enjoying it. Also like getting into it. Or get into a book or a dance. And if we're listening to sounds, they're in awareness. We can have the sounds within awareness. Really getting into the sounds, the vibrations, the subtleties perhaps. Enjoying the way awareness is vibrating with these sounds. Moving with this breath, this whole body here, this whole wider awareness. We're letting it deepen, letting it touch us, and getting into it. For the last few minutes, giving all you wish to give to this living experience. Reaching the last moments of this meditation, but before we come out, just taking a moment almost like a victory lap after running a race. Just checking through the body, checking through the awareness. What have we cultivated? What is there more of here that we can enjoy and appreciate? What's here to be enjoyed and appreciated? Grateful for. Might be a softness, a kindness, peacefulness, spaciousness. It might just be appreciation that we showed up, that we tried. Can we linger in that, bathe in that for a minute or two? Or if you prefer, while enjoying, just gently or wildly, recklessly throwing it out to all beings, radiating it out if you wish to. Either way is good. Just lingering in it, bathing in it, or giving it away. You might find it's replenished as you give it away. And now for the important bit of this practice for today is keeping that flavor alive as we transition, as we move. Imagine like we've blown up a balloon and we're not going to tie a knot in it. We're at a party, we've blown up a balloon and we're just going to pause while we catch our breath. Just keeping our fingers pressed in the mouth of the balloon. And this balloon is filled with the intentional quality you've been growing. So as we move, as we transition, kind of stays with us. So thank you for your practice. Let's try and keep it alive, keep it accessible in whatever way works for us. And we'll begin transitioning, and I'd like to share a reflection from here. But first of all, just want to mention that this place is being offered to us freely by Gaia House and by the flow of teachers and community Dharma leaders who come through here to make this space available. And you know, some of you may know, probably many of you maybe don't, I'm kind of do some stuff behind the scenes, coordinating, arranging the sessions, allocating the slots, and yeah, it's always really lovely to see people kind of stepping forward and saying, yeah, I'll offer a session. I'll hold this one. And yeah, always really appreciate that kind of willingness from both sides, from the Sangha, from the community to come here to show up, not knowing what we're going to hear, not knowing if it's going to be, you know, incredibly precious and valuable for me to hear from this person sharing what's going on in their practice, how they've interpreted these teachings, and what they're going to share forth, or how they're going to hold this kind of collective space for us. But yeah, showing up. So yeah, I wonder what it'd be like. I'm willing to give my time, that precious thing, willing to give my attention. What a precious thing. Really just want to kind of take a moment to acknowledge that meeting from both sides of generosity, of kindness, of real giving. And yeah, may it serve everyone, and may it serve the world that these spaces are offered. And deep gratitude to Gaia House for doing their part to put this together, to keep it going. And so, yeah, in any way that you're in a place where you can support those who come to offer this place, then no, you can give. And you know, sometimes we feel like, well, I haven't got enough to give as much as I'd love to give, and sometimes that can hold us back, get in the way. But yeah, small donations really go a long way, and you know, drop by drop, the water pot of goodness is filled by our ongoing practice. And likewise, you know, we can keep a place like Gaia House, keep these teachings flowing by our engagement, our contribution. So if you're able to support, that's welcome. But as always, teachings and practices like these are given without expectation. And you can visit Gaia House website, and I've also put in my dependent origination website. If you want to give directly to me, that's fine. You're welcome to. But as I say, there's no expectation from anyone in this engagement. But instead, there's actually just lots of celebration and appreciation and gratitude to everyone for doing this, yeah, for doing these practices. And on to the reflection. Because when we do our practice, what actually happens? You know, we actually shape the inner conditions for how the apparently outer world, you know, actually appears to us, whether it's the inner world or the outer world, the sounds, the breath, the body sensations. We change how they appear by starting to change our ways of paying attention. You know, we start dropping in these kind of things we know or we imagine, and I actually don't know how we define the difference between that. You know, something like, I really know this to be true, and then you suddenly find out, oh, actually it wasn't true. Oh, I was actually imagining that I knew that it was true. I hadn't really kind of read the small print. You know, what's actually the difference in the felt experience of whether let's just imagine it's true. And you know, we watch a film and we know that it's fictional, it's not real. We get all emotional about it, follow the story. Is that, anyway, that's a sidebar kind of point to this, but like, whatever we do, we shape the innerness of us, and the outer things appear differently than that. What we perceive as the world, inner or outer, and we open to both in this practice. And hopefully what we're doing is we're cultivating beautiful ways to realize And to what we actually fully realize is that there isn't a reality from its own side. There is the reality very much impacted by the condition of what we might call the inside of us. The inner quality of mind, heart, body, and those are not distinct things. You know, maybe there's a slash or a hyphen between heart, mind, body. The totality of this, yeah, including awareness, attention, sensation, vibration, mood, they all shape how things appear. And that's in a way what we're practicing with, what we are fabricating, making a fabric of the body, heart, mind, experiencing. Yeah. And with that, you know, we can start to wonder, is it, if that's what we're doing, is this a practice? Is this a practice? Like, what does practice mean for us? I can remember my brother saying, he must have picked it up from someone when we were kids. He remembered saying, said Nathan, life's not a dress rehearsal. Life's not a dress rehearsal. You know, I was like, oh yeah, that's really clever. I like that. Like, the, you know, we're not getting ready for life. And sometimes we live that way, right? And it's quite a helpful kind of phrase. We're kind of like, ah, oh, today's just a day that is more like a dress rehearsal than life itself, the real show. Yeah. We're practicing, getting better. You know, practice makes perfect. And then once we're perfect, then we'll live. Yeah. In a certain sense, in the Buddha Dharma, there's actually a sense of there are qualities which we can lift to perfections. Really lifted high qualities like generosity, like virtuality, like really beautiful conduct in the world. Things we can perfect, like renunciation, what we can let go of. We can really perfect our determination, our willingness to show up, and we can really lift those qualities. Is that what we're practicing? Practicing those kinds of things. That really makes sense to me, right? Practicing patience or tolerance. So yeah, that's something it's going to take time to get good at. But already, when I practice it, I'm already getting good at it, right? And so I'm really emphasizing, I'm not going to practice a load of useless stuff so that later on, you know, then I can bring in those qualities. I'm actually going to practice those qualities step by step. You know, I'm going to practice friendliness in this moment to what I'm meeting so that later on, when I meet other things, I will be more skilled at being friendly. I'm going to practice determination with the small things. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to do my standing meditation, and then after a little while, I'm going to think, maybe I'll stop. And you think, no, maybe I'll continue. Not because I want to be someone who can stand for X amount of time, but because I want to be someone who, when they make a resolution, they are resolute with that. They are determined. They see it through. Yeah, I don't want to be a flippy floppy kind of, well, you know, okay, enough of that. Oh, it's getting difficult, let's stop. That's not my aspiration. That's not what brings meaningfulness. And, you know, no one, when we said, you know, what, share what your intention is. So I just want to be kind of a flippy floppy, go with the flow type of thing. So actually, no, we want something more. And that's going to take determination. We want to let go of something that I've been holding on to for too long. We have to take a training in that. And so we've already used the word, but you know, meditation practice is probably better called cultivation. And that's actually more literal to the Pali, to the language that the Buddhist scriptures were written down in and the Buddha spoke a version of. Yeah. And when we're cultivating qualities, I think. That's what we kind of mean. And we really should aim high for the quality that we want to bring. We really want to aim high for real lasting freedom. Yeah, meaningful awakening. Or let's say a radical shift in perspective. We're really kind of question what's possible? Let's aim for that. Right, because we have this cultivation practice that step by step we're going to be heading in that direction. Start soon and keep it up. Yeah, so it's kind of, I came across, I was trying to fix something, I was going through a technology headache with my computer. It wasn't quite a headache, but it was kind of challenging. And I ended up on a forum and someone's signature assigned something to the Buddha. They were offering technical help with the open source operating system I'm using. And it said something like, there are two mistakes you can make on the path, not starting and not finishing. You know, not beginning and not seeing it through. The Buddha didn't actually say this. It's not in our quote of the Buddha, but there's many of those, not a quote from the Buddha. And anyone who wants to enjoy themselves should check out fake Buddha quotes. And the guy who runs that website wrote a lovely book. I haven't checked out the book, but I love the title, called "I Can't Believe It's Not Buddha," which is really worth looking up. But yeah, have a look at that website. It's fun to read, and he's a little bit snarky, but sets things right, and actually is not a bad scholar as they go. Yeah. So start soon and keep it up. The Buddha would say, if you knew what I did about generosity, one of these perfectible qualities, you'd never let a meal go unshared. If you knew about how liberating it is to be generous, you wouldn't feed this body without considering feeding others. Never a moment not dedicated to awakening. Right. Why would we? Sorry again. Stephen Levine, who would deal around this idea of death and dying and working with that as a path of awakening. Something we have to awaken to. We're going to die. Everyone that we love is dear to us. Has that on the cards, right? If it hasn't already happened. And then, in the light of our death, again, what's our intention? What's our meaningfulness? What's the thing we want to awaken to? And he wrote, and he's died, and he wrote in or he spoke about, it's love. It's love, and it's opportunities where we turned away from, the pain of loving, the challenge of loving. And that's what we're going to regret, right? And so that kind of moment, that's in the light of that, what about this life right now? What about this day right now? So with that in mind, and that kind of language of cultivation, that bringing into being, rather than worrying now about what, okay, that's good. We should at some point ask ourselves, what is it we want to get? But how do we actually go about doing this? This is kind of the pragmatic part of what I want to share. How do we sustain, retain, retrain or reframe our experience, whatever it is? How do we actually get that? And a real breakthrough, I think, for many of us, is actually recognizing that what we need to value most is not the quantity of our experience. Yeah, it's not the quantity of our meditations, but it's the quality. And I can recognize a few faces from some of you who came with me on the Fulfilling Intentions journey, where we were practicing in small little blocks, regular periods of time, really getting the quality nice and clear, and then we'll build the quantity. Yeah. So quality over quantity. Knowing what is most important. Right? And if we say quality over quantity, that doesn't mean quantity doesn't matter, right? It absolutely matters, but it's quality that matters more, right? So it's kind of an emphasis on quality, especially if that's corrective for our default on actually aiming for what can be measured rather than, what actually is going to be the thing that we're heading towards in the end, yeah? What we're heading towards ultimately. Because ultimately we want the quality, yeah? We would say, ultimately, we want more of this in our life, right? Not more of an empty vessel that could potentially have been filled with that, but actually more of our meditation time spent absorbed or bringing forth those qualities. Yeah, I think we would kind of all agree about that. Yet, it's not just about the end, also in the beginning, right? Emphasizing quality actually encourages samadhi, actually encourages the gathering into the more subtle experience. Because all of those qualities that we imagine, that we think about, they bring well-being in the here and now. So even if we just turn that dial the smallest amount by bringing that quality into being, then, then really, really helpful. And it's also a really helpful paradigm, reminding ourselves it's quality, not quantity. Is because as people who practice, whether we're beginners or experienced, we will know there are many, many moments that we are not present. that we're not focused, that we're not steady with our attention. Our attention is all over the place. And if we think, wow, quantity is what matters, and I've missed, 10,000 breaths, and now here's one, I might waste that one that I'm present with being remorseful about the 10,000 that I missed, right? And I've kind of given up the one opportunity for quality that I had because I'm actually thinking that those 10,000 that I've lost, the missed opportunities. It's not that we should just forget about that necessarily, but perhaps the best use of that, I missed all of those, but this one's here, and this one's precious, and I realize how rare they are. And I'm going to give everything I can because it's quality, not quantity, that's going to matter in the end. And I'm going to meet this with the peacefulness, with the love, with the tolerance that I want to see in the world. Because this is my opportunity to do so. Yeah. And present moments, despite the fact that there's all there ever is, they're quite rare, aren't they? Yeah, it's quite rare to be in a present moment and have the intention to actually be present with it, to have considered what it is that we want to see more of, and then to be encouraging it. Yeah. So when you get one, don't miss the opportunity by being remorseful about all the ones that we could have had. Yeah. But when we're having one, also, how do we stay in that one sufficiently, that we have a sufficient number of moments? Yeah, because once we've got quality down, now we can start working on quantity. Yeah, we're clear about what it is, how to practice in a certain sense, what we want to see more of. Now, can we keep it up? So it's kind of an unanswerable question. I actually had a conversation with someone the other day. I think they said to me, like, what's the optimum amount of time to practice? Or something along those lines. And I said, well, it'd be kind of fun if there was a number, And probably if we were really, really smart and we had a really big blackboard and lots of chalk, we could probably write an algorithm that would kind of give us a sense of how much in our life we should be practicing in quality. Quality time spent meditating. You know, you can just make it up for yourself. But it's probably a little bit more than we do, but it's probably not every breathing moment, But somewhere in between, you'll find it. And kind of mentioning that Fulfilling Intentions course, which eventually it's going to be something that's available online through Gaia House at any time. So it that might be soon, but I don't think it's quite there yet. We could start backwards, right? And start with the easy. Like, what's the minimum? What's the smallest quantity that would actually support me in waking up from my existence? And many times we're going to think, I'm going to have a daily practice. Once a day, I'm going to sit and stand or walk, whatever it is that we love to do as a practice. We're going to come on to that in a moment, because many of us probably just think sit, but we'll open that out at a later point. Then it's like, nice and early in the morning, because that's easiest for me, get it done, and it's kind of ticked off, right? But is that the best way for the quality? And many of us have never practiced at lunchtime, or many of us have never practiced, just before taking our supper, if we take supper, whatever it is, an evening meal or an evening walk or all of those kind of things. So let's step out of that paradigm and actually think more about, where would practice be most fruitful for me? And is that before or after activities that I do? And am I willing to actually try it out in different times? If I've never practiced at home in the evening, why not? If I've never practiced at home midday, just take 10 minutes before lunch and see what it's like to cultivate those qualities that you want to see more in the world, right? Because there are probably things that are less important to us in our life that we do more often in our day than those things which are really important for us. It's almost certain. You know, whatever it is, whatever it is, yeah, it's probably something that we actually do quite regularly. But actually, it may still be significant, but it's probably not that important. And I mentioned that point about different times of the day because I think that what we would all agree is there are different parts of the day. Yeah, whether we really believe there's such a thing as a morning and an afternoon and a midday and an evening and a midnight and that bit after midnight, they all feel a little bit different to us because we can imagine them. As I say them, you're imagining them and they're like, oh yeah, there's those bits and they feel different. Well, if they feel different, they're contributing to how things appear. And we can really lean into that. You know, again, I can remember being a teenager or early into my 20s, I was at university and I would stay up with friends. And then I noticed that I, not quite as much as a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde transformation, but I became someone different after midnight, after one in the morning. Not because I'd been drinking, because I hadn't. I actually didn't drink, but there were times when I didn't, certainly. A lot of times I didn't, but like that period of time, it's like something happened because it was getting later. Some parts of my psyche shut down, whatever they might describe it. I became someone different. And I used to like it. I used to enjoy to stay up that long and have that conversation and move into those modes. You know, a beginning of actually seeing that the self is actually empty of having its own existence. I become someone different, a different time frame, with different people. That kind of whole experience that we can see is, oh, the self is fabricated. It's fabricated by the time of day. And if that's true, am I practicing in those different times of day? Am I willing to stay up late? Yeah. That we actually see, I'm actually selfhood fluid here. I kind of feel like I'm a this and feel like I'm a that, but I'm actually selfhood fluid. And yeah, can we move with that? Can we step into that? Another thing that we can see if we want to see our experience of meditation, you know, not coming all the way out, we're sustaining it. If you remember, we're still sustaining it from that period about half an hour ago. Is it possible to bring it on as we move through different postures? And that's going to require something. It's going to actually require practicing in more postures. If we go and do a retreat, yeah, and say you do a week-long retreat, you're not just going to be able to sit for a week. Meditation isn't something that is dependent upon cross-legged or sitting on a chair or whatever it is. You know, meditation also happens when you're standing up. Meditation also happens when you're walking around. And meditation also happens when you're lying down. Why? Because meditation is a paying attention in a way that cultivates qualities, shapes the way we look, shapes the way we relate. And we can do that in so much. Yeah. Oftentimes we talk about walking as one of the fourth postures. Yeah? So sitting, standing, reclining, they're all still, and then there's walking. As if walking is the only way we move around. Yeah. But you can actually see walking, it's just there as a stand-in for a whole avenue of movement practices, whether that's Qigong or yoga, but also, you know, all the other ways that we actually move the body, dance, all of those can become a meditation. And they might be better suited for our life than sitting. And if so, I hope sitting's still going to make an appearance some of the time. You know, it's a lovely way to place the physical shape of the body. It can't be everything. And when we're walking or we're moving, we can go beyond just being mindful. You know, this could be a whole other session, so I'm just going to leave it there. But it's like, we might think, oh yeah, when you're walking, you pay attention to the sensations. But when you're sitting, you could be doing insight practices regarding things as anicca or as dukkha or as not self and all this kind of things. And it's like, oh yeah, but when you're walking, you just pay attention to the sensations of walking. Ridiculous. You can do metta meditations, you can do emptiness meditations when you're walking or standing or reclining. It's all rich and open, and it might actually just make them more accessible for you. Because if we're saying something's empty, we're just saying it's dependent on other things. And posture is one of those dependencies. And it reveals how empty our experience is, because it's not the same sitting, and it's not the same lying down. And if it were the same standing up, then we would do it, wouldn't we? But it's not the same, and that's why we don't, right? Oh, I don't want to do that. Standing's hard, or something like this, yeah? So actually you're saying, yeah, okay, so your experience is dependent on the posture. Yeah. So not just stillness, we could meditate when we're talking, yeah, insight dialogue, non-violent communication, meditations while we're talking. We can meditate while we're having fun. It doesn't have to not be fun. Yeah. You can meditate when you're dancing, you can meditate when you're laughing, you can do all these kinds of things. Meditate when you're reading. Meditate when you're listening to music. Why? Because we're using a meditation definition that is about paying attention in a particular way that shapes the kinds of qualities we want to see in the world. But the last point is, whatever we do, whenever we do it, how about we then keep it going outside of the boundary of what we thought was the meditation? And the best way to end a meditation is, don't come all of the way out. And that's more or less a direct quote of Tanisaro Bhikkhu, who wrote the wonderful book With Each and Every Breath. And two ideas that I have for this is, one is the victory lap, and we did at the end, right? Whatever it is that we've cultivated here, let's just have an exploration through the whole of the body, heart, mind, complex here that's having this experience. Let's just check what's loosened, what's softened, what's brightened, what's enlivened, what's here that wasn't here before, what's there more of, what's there less of, what's disappeared. Yeah. And we just have an extra little bit when the mindfulness bell rings to call us out of that session or whatever it is. It's taking a moment to enjoy. And it's a victory lap, like a celebration. Yeah. So if you're the athlete, you've gone round, wow, you won. You're about to get the gold cup, you've gotten it, you've got your medal, and then you run around, you wave at everyone. We're doing that through our own body, heart, mind, through our own psyche, through our own awareness. Yes, I won the meditation. Yeah. We all won, but I also won. And then letting that in, letting ourselves linger in that, having that victory lap. It also has a pragmatic purpose, right? It actually imprints to us, that was good, let's do that again, that was fun, that was nice, and it was effective. Yeah. And if it wasn't, it's also a good time to reflect, what went wrong, what didn't I do, was that not the right posture, was that not the right, you know, after that we can go into that. But first we enjoy. And as I said, if you're enjoying, maybe your ultimate intention is actually to be in service to the whole world. And we also give those out, share those out to other beings. Yeah. So we let it come in, let it nourish us, and then let it be offered out to nourish others. And we might notice that that's even more nourishing. And then we keep the balloon inflated. Whatever we've breathed into with presence, try and keep it as we move from place to place for as long as possible. How long can I keep this flavor going? From posture to posture, from moment to moment. And what happens if I notice it's disappearing and then I just blow into my balloon a little bit more of that love, peace, understanding? Can I bring it back? Can I keep that balloon inflated? It's not just passive, it's also active, keeping that balloon inflated for as long as possible. Which is a really helpful idea, especially if we're practicing because our life is challenging. Yeah. Or we're practicing because we're going to go into a challenging environment, challenging conversation. Yeah, we're starting to have a practice worthy of our lives in those ways. So I hope that's a helpful reflection. And Yeah, you're really welcome to share any kind of comments, questions, reflections, tips and tricks, other fake Buddhist quotes. Anything you want to bring in, very much invited. Yes, please. Yeah, just unmute. Feel free to step in. It only gets better. No, I think listen to a lot of what people have to offer, but understand that they're offering it so that you can find your own way into your own connection with your experience. Yeah. And that a lot of times what people are sharing is what works best for them. And that's really helpful to hear because we actually share a lot in common. But if you get a feeling that someone is sharing something and it's very much, you know, this is the way rather than this is my way, then you have to translate that for yourself. I think that that's something that would have been helpful for me to have heard earlier on, is that this is actually about finding your own connection to your own existence in your best possible way. And it should be something that you enjoy. It's an upgrade when we step out of the unpleasant patterns of behavior that we've learned, you know, through being a human being, through, you know, probably millennia of evolution, and also being born into a culture that impacts us. And this is, you know, it's a long journey, but you know, the lovely quote from the Buddha is that it's sweet in the beginning, sweet in the middle, and sweet in the end. And what that means is that those moments where we say, actually, I can let my shoulders down, you know, I can kind of let my hair down, I can let my belly out, I can let my breath in, I can let my presence be known to me, and I can encourage those qualities that I want to see in the world. If I can do that for a few minutes, that's a real gift to myself. And then if that's the quality that I'm looking for, what would it be like if I did that again? And then I did it again. Yeah, so, you know, not very kind of prescriptive advice, but you'll find many places where, you know, if you like listening to guided meditations, there are plenty, and they'll be in every language known to humanity by this time. And if they're a support for you, use them. And if anybody ever gives you the impression that you shouldn't be, you know, oh, that's for beginners and you should grow out of that, it's absolutely rubbish. If you like it, if you enjoy it, really trust yourself. You're the best authority for yourself. I think I would say that to someone starting out. Thank you. Take care. Yeah, and I think something else, there's a phrase I love from the Tao Te Ching, which is do the difficult while it's still easy. And sometimes I tease people around me when I see them doing things in a very difficult way. I say, ah, yes, do the easy while it's still difficult. But we do need that reminder that it's a long and it can be a difficult journey. But what is the easiest thing to do right now? And for many of us, it's actually to soften, to invite, to relax this body. And there's a lot we can do there, just to let the belly out, let the face soften. And it's amazing how helpful that is through our daily life as well. Just have that as a little mindfulness reminder. It's not just about being present, it's actually presenting ourselves with some softness much of the time. So, is there anyone else who'd like to share anything? Very welcome. Could be anything that works for you in keeping your practice alive, or could be a question or reflection or anything else. It's all welcome. Hello. I do. I do. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of broader piece that isn't a is a less conditioned or a less expectation driven peace. Like, I can be peaceful if I can get rid of this and this. If I can control experience, I'll get to peace. And I think that, yeah, we certainly we see that. And I think I may have shared with you or shared in your presence. I'm over in Israel now, and hoping to get into Palestine shortly. And I have a Palestinian friend who says that a lot of people speak about peace, and what they mean is quiet. And peace is not quiet. Quiet, you can control, whereas peace is actually freedom. Yeah. And we're aiming for peace, not for quiet. And I think that really kind of resonates in what you were just sharing there as well. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful reflection. And also, I can see quite a rich kind of atmosphere in there, because in a sense, when we're wishing people metta or metta phrases, it's quite a wide variety of types of well-being that we're wishing for them. It's kind of implicit if we're using phrases or we're sending resonances. It has those kinds of qualities to it. And with that, I think one of the most beautiful well-beings that we can offer to someone is actually peacefulness. To actually feel peaceful, to feel at home in your own skin, to feel unthreatened in this world. Yeah. I think it's such a deep and beautiful happiness that we don't often correlate. And to wish it to others means you're going to get impacted by that, and probably not just a homeopathic dose. As you wish it to others, it is what your psyche is tuned into. Yeah, and that whole thing that I started off with, that kind of rambly, weirdy point about, knowing and imagining, when we're wishing that, is it there? Well, I'm kind of imagining that I want it to be there. But what do I actually know? What I know is that peacefulness that I'm wishing them. Quite a curious impact that it has on us to do those practices. Impossible to wish for others what we don't end up receiving ourselves, which is why they sometimes say about anger and aversion, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Because that's what you're in, it's what you're absorbed in. Whereas if you wish peace to others, you bring it into being, at least a little bit. Thanks for sharing that, Paul. Beautiful. I think we're at that point where I say thank you so much for being here and for sharing this space. It's so rich and so precious that this is available. Yeah. So it wouldn't be the same without you being here. And I'm also really grateful for your practice, and I think it's a real gift to the world that you're doing what you're doing. And as we say, it's not always easy, but it is hopefully fruitful and supportive for you, as well as offering something beautiful into the world, where we can help support a more generous, compassionate, and understanding experience for everyone. So feel free to unmute, and as we go our own individual ways, hopefully keeping our balloons of wisdom and beauty and kindness and peace fully inflated.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.